with the Super Bowl coming up, I am one of these guys. Anybody here a Tom Brady fan? Dad, get out. Even more important than Brady being in the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning made it into the Hall of Fame. Am I right? That's way better. But let me ask you this. In the end, one of the reasons that I personally do not like Tom Brady is because I believe that he had some major unfair advantages. I believe he's a cheater. I'll just straight up tell you. I can't stand the guy. Literally cannot stand the guy. So the verse before what we're going to be reading today, it's like, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. I'm pretty sure it's like, Jacob I have loved, Tom Brady I have hated. All right? Like that is where I'm at with Tom Brady. So, but part of the reason is because we live in a society of fairness. Everything has to be fair and equal, right? Isn't that how we raise our kids up, that everything has to be fair and equal? Let me ask you, is life fair and equal in every situation? Cody's sitting here like, no, right? Is it fair that I look this good and you? It's just not fair, right? I know, Addie. My wife got to marry this. Not fair. There are things in our life that just aren't fair. And so often we want this idea of everything to be equal, everything to be fair, everything to be for us. And just sometimes they aren't. Sometimes we have purpose in our life. Sometimes we have things in our life that give us more struggles, whether it's the way we were born, the way we were created. Some of us may have physical disadvantages that we were born with. Some of us may have mental disadvantages that we're born with. If I get an amen on me, I'm going to be mad, okay? So let's just leave it at that, okay? We have things that make life not fair. And if we continue to just every single step of the way teach our kids fairness, 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 are we truly being biblical in what we're teaching them? Are we preparing them to be able to handle the hardships of life? So Paul is in Romans chapter 9, right? And we're Romans chapter 9 today. Paul starts talking about some things that are fair and not fair. And so often with God, we think, hey, everything needs to be fair. You need to equally bless me in the way that you bless somebody else, right? Like, why is it that some people have a harder time in life than others? Why is it that some people are prone to getting sick and others aren't? Why are there situations where things are just not seeming equal? And what if it goes much beyond that? Like we talked about Jackson Igo, it is not fair in human terms for him to be struggling like he is, am I right? Like as a high school kid going through what he's going through, raise your hand if you think it's fair for him to go through it. I'm going to raise my hand, and I think it's absolutely fair, and here's why. How many people have come into a relationship with Jesus Christ because of the struggles that he has had in life? How many people have come into a relationship with Jesus because of the struggles that maybe we have in our lives? So often we want fairness, but we want fairness to our advantage, right? Like, if you're a kid, right, you want fairness in the sense of if I take a donut and I break it in half, like you want to pull out the measuring tape, you want to bring out a scale and weigh the donut, right? And we want to make sure that we both get the amount of donut, unless you're the one that gets to choose. And then it's cool if the donut's a little heavier on one side than the other because you're choosing. Am I right? Kids, be honest. Next week, is it next week we're having the donuts? Next week we have the donuts, and if I cut them all in half and one of them is like actually cut in two-thirds, it's bigger than the rest. Who's jumping in and grabbing that donut first? Like everybody's, and if you got it first, let me ask you this. Kai, if you got that big donut first, is it fair that you got it? If you got it, oh yeah, yeah. Totally fair, right? But wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. What if your brother standing there or your sister standing beside you got it, but you only got a portion of a donut? Is that fair? Totally not fair. So often we live that same way in our lives. Why is it that somebody has something that we don't? Why is my purpose or my path in life so much harder? Why are there things in my life that make it where I just don't have that same passion for Christ like I see in somebody's life? Why is it that whenever I see somebody and they just, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter how much I preach to them, no matter how much love you give to them, no matter how much you pour into them, they just seem to never want to do better? Why is it fair? We start talking a little bit about this in Romans chapter 9, but before we get into that passage, before we read the passage, I would really, really like to pray over this passage. Really like to pray that our hearts and our minds are completely open to God's word and we take the passage for what it is. So let's pray. Lord God, I ask you today, and I'm thankful for your word, but I'm thankful for all that you do. But Lord, I'm asking for you to love us, to come into our minds, into our bodies, to give us understanding on things that may not make sense, Lord, but Lord, to give us peace and knowledge of Jesus through every situation. Lord, to know that you are a God that is just and loving and caring and kind and desires nothing but the best. Lord, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So here we go. Romans chapter 9, starting at verse 14. What should we say then? Is there injustice with God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. For he tells Moses, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it does not depend on human will or effort, but on God who shows mercy. For the scripture tells us, Pharaoh, I raised you up for this reason, so that I may display my power in you, and that my name may be proclaimed in the whole earth. So then he has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. You will say to me, therefore, why then does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, a mere man, to talk back to God? What does form say to the one who formed it? Why did you make me this way? Or has the potter no right over the clay to make from the same lump one piece of pottery for honor and another for dishonor? And what if God, wanting to display his wrath and make his power known, endured with much patience objects of wrath prepared for destruction? And what if he did this to make known the riches of his glory on objects of mercy that he prepared beforehand for glory? On us, the one he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. We're going to stop right there. So here we have Paul, and he's taking battling onto the fair discussion, right? As a matter of fact, what he's saying is, why do we worry? Why are we questioning God's justice? As a matter of fact, what he says is, if he says in the verse before, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated, and he goes in here and says, is God wrong in doing that? He says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Who are we to wonder why God's at fault in situations where we struggle? So often, see, God's perfect plan for our life was for us to be able to live in one in peace with him in the garden. And sin took that out from us, right? So then the game plan totally changed. See, God's will for our life was not death. His desire for our life was not death, right? He wanted us to live with him, to be a part of him, and we sinned and took that away. And then the game plan had to change. And he goes in here and he starts talking about things that don't make sense to us. Like when he comes in first, he references Moses, right? In Exodus, he references Moses talking to God. And what happens in here when he references this, he says, I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And if you go back into Exodus and you read what's happening when he states this, whenever Paul is relating back to the Old Testament, to Moses' words, Moses comes down off the mountain with the commandments, right? And he looks down and Aaron has gathered everybody up with the jewelry and said, let's make this calf and start worshiping this golden calf. So they're all doing that, and God gets extremely angry in the fact that they don't have patience. So what he does is he goes and he starts taking the sin that kills us and casting judgment on that sin, and he starts taking out people. And he takes out about 3,000 people. And Moses cries out to him, this isn't fair. Why are you doing this? And God says, you guys sinned against me, and I will have mercy on who I will have mercy, and I will go after who I need to go after. See, God would have been just in taking everybody out in that situation, right? Like for sin in our life, what is the price of sin? What do we get for sin? Death. We honestly deserve death, do we not? But God says, man, I show mercy on whom I'll show mercy, and I will give you grace, and I will give you love. What an awesome God it is that he shows mercy and grace in situations that we don't deserve it. How awesome is it that we have a God that loves us so much that even when we fail him, when we do the opposite of what he desires for him, that he still shows that mercy and grace. He is a loving, caring God, and he doesn't have to. See, we think of the fair object that, hey, why not just wipe away all sin? Why not just get rid of all of it? No matter what you do, you just live your life. Just live it, and at the end, he'll do whatever he needs to do, and he'll wash it away, and you live your life however you want to live it. Well, our God is also a God of laws. He set up the rules, and he says, please live by these rules. I'm asking you, if you go away from these rules and you sin against me, this is the punishment. And being a just God, he has to live up to that punishment, right? Now, he gave you a way through Jesus Christ to get out of it. It says he will show mercy on whom he has wants to show mercy. And then he goes on a little bit farther and he says, I raised you up for this purpose. He says, for the scripture tells Pharaoh, I raised you up for this reason so that I may display my power in you and that my name may be proclaimed to the whole earth. So what he has here and what he's talking about is Pharaoh. He puts him in a situation in which he can do all of these things to go against the Israelites. He can bring them into slavery. He can treat them terribly. We know Pharaoh is a murderer. He's a terrible person, but he is placed in a place of authority. He is rich. He has all these things. Is it totally fair that bad people are put in terrible situations? Are in great situations. Let me say it that way. We've got a lot of dictators and terrible people in this world that have lots of money and power to do whatever they want. But so often we think of things in worldly terms and not in everlasting terms, not in godly terms. See, whenever we go through the Bible and we think of people like Pharaoh, when we think of people like Saul, we think of all of these people in there, if we think of people like Judas, as a matter of fact, we're going to take communion today, and equally at the table with everybody else, Judas is taking communion, right? And he is part of the group that is close there with Jesus. He's walking and talking with him. He is there. He knows who Jesus is. But the Bible also tells us that it would have been better for Judas to have never been born than to do what he was about to do. See, in order for us to truly realize the goodness of God, the mercy of God, we have to realize what he has mercy on. See, God used David in a way by providing Saul there to show David's true heart towards him. Right? So every time Saul did something bad and God allowed Saul to do something bad, I'm not saying he forced him to do something bad. We do that on our own, right? But we can equally say, let me ask you this. In order to somebody to come into a relationship with Christ, we pray for one thing first. What is it usually? Does anybody want to throw that out there? God, will you please do something for this person? What? If we know somebody that's not saved, what do? Anybody want to throw it out there? God, will you change their heart? Will you bring them closer to you? Will you please draw them nearer to you? Will you place it on their heart and their desire to be there? God says that we have to be called by him in order to come into a relationship. So what he's doing here is he's talking about, we're automatically saying that it's not through our works, and Paul writes that here, it's not through what we do, it's not through our personal, but it's through God, right? Through God that calls us into salvation. Through God that sent his son, all of these things, it shows God's mercy and love for us. But then we go into the next part. We start talking about needing situations and needing times where there were the bad guys. See, Peyton Manning really needed Tom Brady, didn't he? There's an awesome rivalry there, and Tom Brady usually would somehow come ahead of it. He's still, yeah, to some people, we're going to be considered the GOAT. But Tom Brady made Peyton Manning's name better because of that rivalry. Am I right? How many of you guys wanted to go watch the Colts play the Patriots in the regular season? Like, that was a highlight. For some of us, that was almost as big as the Super Bowl, right? Well, whenever we go through the Bible and we look, see, David needed Saul. He needed Saul to equally go after him so that we could see the reaction, see the way in which he was just. Now we get in that fairness. Paul goes into a situation when he starts talking about the potter and the clay, a vessel made for destruction and a vessel made for glory. So then I started thinking, okay, if God talks in ways, and let me tell you, when God gives us a visual, when he talks about things, he makes the visual unbelievably known. So let me ask you this, and I know these aren't clay. I have not went out and got clay. These are more mortar, but it's in the same way, right? You mix it up. It kind of works like clay. You form it. You do those sort of things, and then you make something useful out of it, right? All right. So there's a few things. We go up to Pigeon Forge not too long ago, and we went into a general store, and they were making all kinds of different vessels, right? They were making cups, they were making bowls, they were making pitchers, all kinds of cool things they were making. But when they're making these things, they go back to the exact same place. They go out to this bucket that has a special kind of clay that they use, and they grab out of that bucket, out of that large amount of clay, and they make different things out of it. And each and every one of those things are different, right? So if we can imagine, and I know that these are probably because they were made at different times and different things, but we can imagine that out of the same bucket, we made three different things. We made a cup, right? And this cup looks like every other cup out there. Like, you can probably go to Walmart or wherever you get these brand cups and get a cup that looks identical to this one. Let me tell you, God does not make cups like this. Each and every one of us have different goals, different things in life, different attributes, different plans. So this is not part of the plan. This is a man-made, machine-made, everything needs to be to specs sort of thing, right? So we have a cup like this. We have some cool looking bowls like this. The back of them, these bowls mean a whole lot to me. On the back of one of them, it says Keone. And on the back of this one, it says Aubrey. These mean a whole lot. These were made before Kaysen was thought of. These mean a whole lot to me. And then we have, out of that same lump, we can have something equally made that looks like this up here. Does anybody know what this is? Clay pigeon, right? Clay targets. What's their purpose? Beyond that, their purpose may is to bring glory to the one using them, right? So they can use that for the purpose of being able to maybe one day provide food for their family. They're using those to be able to hone in their craft or whatever it is, but they may be broken. And out of that same lump, we could have something equally made like this. See, each and every one of us are kind of made in the same way. We look a little different. God takes and gives us different characteristics. See, these bowls were made out of the exact same thing, but they're very specific. This is a representation of my son, and this is a representation of my daughter. See, this means nothing. It has no personal value. I don't care about it. Why? Why do I not care about it? There's nothing that makes that special. There's nothing in there that has purpose beyond just being used and abused. Nobody took the time to love that. Somebody took the time to create you with love. Yeah, we don't look as perfect as that cup. But I'm telling you, if you tried to yank these out of my hands, tried to yank these out of my hands and do the same thing that I did with that cup, if you tried to take something that my kids created, if you tried to take the specialness of what this is, I'm telling you, all 300 plus pounds of me is going to fight you for it. This is special. It's not perfect. As a matter of fact, sometimes with the way the bowls are, they may rock a little bit. They may spill a little bit of milk. There may be some sharp points on them that every now and then may not be perfect in every situation. There may be some places that the coloring isn't as perfect as if they would have been made just to be mass produced, but they are special and they have purpose. God loves you in the same way that there is. He has made you with purpose. All your, even your flaws, He can use for glory. She asked me, why is it fair that God would create, why would He create me flawed? Why would He allow me to have places that just don't work exactly the way that I think they should? Why is it that this guy's bowl will hold a little bit more than hers? Why is it that hers is a little more steady when it sits there than his? Why is it that there's more color and vibrant color in this one than there is this one? Well, that's because these aren't made for the purpose of looking alike. These are made for God's purpose. Your kids are made for God's purpose to use them in the way He wishes to use them. And we may run across people on this earth that are equally in the same way used for honing in. And man, that sounds harsh and that sounds hard, doesn't it? But let's not forget, let's go back exactly to what Paul's saying. It says, is it fair? Is it just? Does it make God unjust in creating things differently for purposes that are different? He says, God is just. He can find mercy in who He wants to find mercy. He can have love on who He wants to have love on. He can take care of somebody differently than it takes care of somebody else. You can be in a terrible situation. You can be striving each and every week and desiring to want more out of life, wondering why financially you struggle, wondering why physically you struggle, wondering why emotionally you struggle, wondering all these things. But in the end, you were created to glorify Him and to have purpose in Him. I'm telling you this, He knew you before you were ever even thought of on this earth. You were created before you were ever even thought of on this earth in a way that you would have purpose in this life. Do not tell me that God just creates something without reason. Don't tell me that. My God loves me. My God loves you. My God cares for you in a way that He thought of you. He created each and everything in you, including allowing you to have faults in your life so that you would turn away from yourself and turn to Him. I am thankful for the times. I've told you guys this before, and if I haven't, I'll tell you this. I am thankful for the fact of having the problems with my eyes that I did, because I remember sitting there in a machine wondering if I was going to die or not, if I had brain cancer or not. I was scared to death, and sitting there in that machine wondering, the only thing that I could think of was praying to God. And the only thing in that situation that mattered to me was not, hey, can you take this out, this sickness away? Can you make it non-cancerous? Can you make it whatever it was? The only thing I could think of is, God, will you give me enough time to ensure that my kids have a relationship with you? Take me after that. Give me enough time, use me to ensure that my family has the ability to know you. He would have been absolutely just if it would have been a situation in which the doctor would have came out and said, hey, you only have a few months to live. I've lived a pretty good life. But even more so than that, it doesn't matter if I lived a good life or a terrible life, because I've had both in it. I would have the best perfect eternity. See, we should all say in the fact that if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, no matter what struggles we have on this earth, what imperfections were put into our life, no matter what we look like, no matter what we struggle with, He's just. Even when He puts people in situations to torment us, to come after us, He is just. He is the creator of the universe. Let's stop asking and teaching our kids, teaching ourselves to this fairness idea. And let's start giving thanks for who God is. Let's start telling Him, thank you for loving me so much, even with my imperfections. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for placing people in my lives that grow me closer to you. Thank you for giving me those people, though even, in order for a situation to come good, thank you for placing things in my life that grow me closer to you. God is just. The entire Bible and everything that He writes is right and good for learning, good for the teaching, and good for the preaching.